and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 645.
That's right. We are actually covering yet another one-shot. Also Lantern-related. More Lantern-related than the last time.
Yeah, it's kind of... And again, like last week's, it does have some ties to current continuity, but not as much as you'd like. I thought the Manhunter thing was going to go more, be a little more important at the time than it turned out to be.
Well, let's jump in then, right?
All right. So Tales of the Green Lantern Corps... Guy Gardner, numero uno, one and done, as the case would be. Guy with bowl cut. I disapprove of guy with bowl cut, since we know that's not real continuity anymore. But nonetheless, this story is supposed to take place before Green Lantern Corps 14. What the hell number are we up to? Like 18?
I don't know. Should have asked me that before.
Well, you can look it up in the meantime. This whole issue is being narrated by Zardom, who is, I guess, the head of the Internal Affairs Unit of the Green Lantern Corps. Did we ever know they had an Internal Affairs Unit before? Probably not, but it's not something that certainly comes up in conversation a lot. It would make sense, again, if you view them as a police force and not an army, that they would have an Internal Affairs Division. Guy is shaking down this criminal, and but down or near the source wall. That's basically what he's hanging over this guy's head. That if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to throw you against the source wall and lock you into place. Because the source wall does exist again, right, Chad? We think?
I believe so.
Maybe. It is kind of funny. This guy's confessing a lot of shit that nobody cares about. But the only thing Guy really cares about is the fact that he sold a bunch of people into, I must admit, the space cocaine being in the trunk, that almost made me lose it right there. It's like, space cocaine? Really? that's where we are. So he's confessing to everything, to being a space cocaine dealer, to cheating on his wife. And all Guy really cares about is that he sold these Drekonites into slavery. And that's all Guy wanted. So Guy gets the information. He goes, frees the Drekonites. Everybody's happy, except for maybe this one guy named Carl, who apparently owes the guy money. And he goes, hey, Carl, don't forget. Don't think I forgot, dude. You owe me. And it's like, well, it was kind of a funny retort. It's like, I'm a little short with, you know, what with being sold into slavery, you know. But apparently Carl does have some emergency cash, so he offers to pay close to, I guess, half of what he owes Guy, and Guy's willing to accept it. All the Drekonites there are they're happy, they're freed, but they don't know what they're going to do because their world was destroyed. So Guy takes them directly to Oa, where they're going to be refugees on Oa, which leads into the big splash page, credit page, Light Club, with Jerry Duggan, writer, Matteo Lolli, Laura Braga, and Vasco Georgiev as the artist, John Calise as the colorist, Dave Sharp, common thread, letterer. Edwin Galman is the cover artist, variant cover artist. Well, we don't really do those. And Gillian Grant and Paul Kaminsky remain the editors. It's kind of interesting. They just say editors and not. They usually have their individual titles. When the Drekonites are being essentially processed, and there's Jessica, which is quite interesting that she is on the field when you would think she'd be in the office. But nonetheless, they're dealing with the Drekonites and trying to help them out. And then Zardom, who kind of looks like. He dresses like Gantha did during the Kyle era, just with a different color scheme. He comes out and he talks to Guy, and Guy's been, I guess, finding these manhunters, these deactivated manhunters, and he's concerned that this could mean something. So he brought it to the attention of pretty much everybody, but nobody really cares because they think Guy Gardner is just paranoid. But nonetheless, and at one point, Zardom refers to Guy as the best and the worst of the Green Lantern Corps, which is cool. But then he kind of backtracks and says, well, you know, the real best, which of course is highly debatable, is Jon Stewart. We get a recap of how Jon Stewart duplicated himself and the duplicate died. So, hey, the real Jon Stewart's back. Jon's out there, you know, rescuing someone in space, dealing with a spaceship problem. He is contacted by Vardom, and Vardom says, hey, when you get back, could you see me in my office? Which is a common thread in this book, that multiple people are crawled basically into the principal's office, and they all have the same reaction. Well, this can't be good news. The eating of the candy is quite interesting. Obviously, Vardom has a candy fix, but Jon is being sent to deal with Gardner, because there's so many complaints about Guy Gardner, the way he's behaving, and Vardom believes John's the only guy who can get sent out there to deal with Guy that won't end up in a fist fight. Anybody else, it's just going to naturally end that way, but because of their long-standing relationship. So Jon reluctantly agrees, and he just said, well, I'll go have dinner with Guy Gardner. And, you know, Vardom's like, oh, my favorite Grant, you're my favorite Lantern. And essentially this is what we find out later on, by the way, is that this is a double mission here. That Vardom has doubts about Jon really being who he says he is, that he's the real Jon Stewart. So why he definitely wants Jon to shake down Guy and tell him to rein it in and stop being such an a-hole. He also wants Guy to press this Jon Stewart to find definitive proof that he actually is Jon Stewart. Jon goes to Guy's apartment in the meantime, and this place is a mess. It's booby-trapped, and he finds a friggin' deactivated Manhunter in Guy's shower, which is freaky as hell. He's got putrid, rotted food which apparently is from multiple years ago, I think we find out, in Guy's refrigerator. Jon goes to find Guy as he's wrestling with these space apes. We get a Planet of the Apes reference here. And the ape gives Guy a nut shot, which is also a common thread in this book. Guy takes multiple shots to the family jewels. Apes are like, funny, let's ditch the moon, it's the cops. And Guy Gardner catches up to them. He's about to take them all into custody. That's when Jon comes in, and they start clashing. And Guy's like, you know, they're getting away. I finally got these guys. I'm this close to bringing them in. It's like, we can do this later. And Jon and Guy end up kind of like going at it. You see, Guy has some reservations of his own, whether he was pumped. You know, this could have been an off-screen thing that Vardom might have pumped this stuff into him, making him doubt Jon more so than maybe his own paranoid nature would have made him. But either way, these guys end up squaring off in a ring battle. They eventually take their rings off. And it's like, well, they both kind of say, well, I don't need my ring to deal with you. They end up having a fist fight for a while. They end up having a conversation about, they just start talking and revealing things about themselves. Nothing that's shocking or revealing overall. But they get convinced of each other's authenticity. Back on Oa now, Kilowog is kind of in Vardom's office, or will be shortly, as Vardom is watching this fist fight. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with Earthling? It's Kilowog that gets called into the principal's office by this Ganthet wannabe. The Manhunters are looked into by their greatest, like, intelligence, their scientists or whatever. And we find out that there's this demon-like creature that has essentially been using these deactivated Manhunters essentially as recording devices. And spying, and has been spying on the Green Lantern Corps from conveniently enough, from like a dark pocket universe, whatever this means. And Kilowog's like, hey, you know, we'd be nowhere in our investigation without Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner. They're from Earth. I do like the moment when they're kind of like waving silently to like nobody at first seems to give a crap, but then they finally clap. And we get a little Scooby-Doo reference. It's like, and I would have gotten away with it too, if not for your lousy lanterns, translated from demonic. That was a nice touch. Jon acknowledges how it was clever to use Guy and himself to go to check each other out to make sure they were on the level. Jon and Guy end up going to have dinner. They go to have barbecue. That's kind of where we leave off for the most part. Other than Guy going back to his apartment, finally for the first time in forever, taking a shower, kind of de-stinking his uniform. I guess he grows plants out of his boots, and then he's heading out to have a bright new day. It's like, it's going to be a great day, as he's about to get jumped by a bunch of apes, which I'm going to assume is related to the apes that we saw, potentially anyway, just the apes we saw that he was trying to arrest. But either way, or Gorilla Grodd's cousins, it doesn't really matter. And that pretty much is the story.
It's funny. Throughout this, you referred to Zardom as also Thardom and Vardom.
Did I?
Yes.
Did I really?
Yeah.
And the sad part is I have it written down that it's Zardom, so I knew I got it right to start with. But maybe if that is true, maybe I will edit that part out so then nobody will know. Maybe I'll keep cutting and pasting every time I said Zardom.
I don't know. It's kind of funny.
It's a stupid effing name anyway.
Yeah. So at the end of this issue, I talked to this about Mark, but actually this is not the only, I was talking about it with somebody else today as well online. And at the end of this issue, my thought was, why does this exist? Why did we get this? And I started thinking about it more. It's like, it's not a bad issue. It's not the greatest issue, but it's just kind of, you know, a good little one-shot story featuring Green Lantern. I don't have any particular problem with it, but my whole thing was like, just like, who greenlit this and what purpose were they trying to fulfill by telling this story? Are they trying to fill in some blank that will become important later on in the Green Lantern Corps series? We honestly don't know, because we've got to read the rest of how the current story plays out to determine that. So I guess that's not a question that can be really answered. So in the meantime, I'm just sort of left with, why is this here? And it's not bad. So I guess my whole philosophy, and I told this to Mark, I just think I'm not, given what we have, I don't think I'm going to look a gift horse in the mouth on this one and start digging my heels in on the whole why does this exist thing, because it's a halfway decent Green Lantern story in a time where we have problems with the current ongoing stuff here and there, and you know, it's rare that we get something that we don't have a ton of qualms with. So I'm just gonna let things exist because we have something fun Green Lantern to read.
Yes.
I can dig deeper and say, why does this exist, and really dig in on that. But what am I really doing myself any services as a Green Lantern fan by doing that? Probably not.
No, I think you were correct. It's kind of fluff in the sense that it doesn't, at the moment, it doesn't mean anything. That's why the only disappointment I would have is, again, you're dealing with these manhunt. Now, I guess on one level, it basically shows that for all his paranoia, which they kind of play, you know, which they discuss, well, guy's always paranoid, I think John says, or of course he's paranoid, it's part of his DNA. But guy is, obviously it's foreshadowing, if nothing else, it's retroactive foreshadowing for what that's worth, that he was absolutely correct that the Manhunters were going to be a problem. Because Manhunters, as we're dealing with currently in Green Lantern Corps, are a problem. And technically, Hal dealt with them too, but they kind of moved on from that super fast. So it could have some ramifications in the ongoing. We could get something related to it. It would be a real weird curveball, considering that having the demon still be involved with the Manhunters we're seeing, considering the Manhunters we're seeing are trying to gather up emotional entities, you know, tying it into the emotional spectrum. The artwork was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Some characters look better than others. Like Kilowog looks pretty good. The cameo with Jessica Cruz looks good. Vardom.
Yeah, this artist has room to do the art. It looks like the source wall spread or up close shots of Guy's face or whatever. But anytime it's zoomed out, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah, Zardom looks pretty good. Barnum and Bailey, Marbum, Emum, whatever we want to call him now. But it's kind of hard to judge since we've never really seen him before.
He's a Derlin, too.
Yeah, I know. I kind of.
We assume.
Yeah. I was kind of trying to ignore that as much as I could. Give him a pass on that. Just because he just kind of was dressing like Ganthet in his little pantsuit kind of thing. Obviously, it's on a personal level. But because it's coming from... because it's coming from Zardom and we know it's his personal view, that I clearly I don't agree with the assessment that John's the best Green Lantern, but it's an interesting hill to die on considering the story. We can only assume that that the character of Zardom is expressing Duggan's personal view on who his favorite Green Lantern is, because may not be the case, but that was is what I would assume, since it's not like he gives a whole list of definitive reasons why John Stewart really is, you know, inarguable reasons why John Stewart is. It's more like a rehash of just what John's been doing in the two John Stewarts. It was kind of weird seeing John and Guy duke it out. I mean, I understand the dominoes, the match or the fuse was lit by essentially poisoning each other a little bit against each other, we can assume. Guy may have had his own doubts about John to start with, maybe, but we know that in all likelihood they were magnified by Zardom. We see Zardom telling John that, you know, we got to rein Guy in, he's out of control, but obviously we don't see the part of the conversation where Guy is meant to, like, you need to push John, or John in quotes, you need to push this guy, no pun intended, you know, Guy, you need to push this guy. So we know once and for all this as much as we can if he's really John Stewart or he's a, which is again kind of appropriate coming from a Derlin and even extra reason to be suspicious. I know shape shifting and I have a feeling. I know an imposter when I smell one. Yeah, I mean it was fine.
Learned something about Guy this issue. Apparently Guy plays guitar.
Yeah,
because he makes a construct on top of this train. And then John goes to his apartment, and one of the things inside John goes to Guy's apartment, and one of the things inside Guy's apartment, leaning against his dining table chair in the kitchen, is a guitar. So clearly he plays, or just owns one. I guess it's possible for people to just own a guitar. And then he also uses a construct to beat the shit out of of John, which is an electric guitar.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Interesting idea of there being an IA here, maybe a whole department, definitely just one guy at the very least, because we know that there are like, what did they call them? Not Alpha Lanterns, but what did Guy and them become when they were no longer Green Lanterns of Sector 2814? They were
Honor Guard.
Honor Guard. So we know that the Honor Guard exists in terms of roles for Green Lanterns outside of protecting their designated sector. But we're expanding on that even more. Like, we got current core leader, Jessica. So there's stuff there. And I would assume like the medic or whatever team. But now we have an IA. So we're getting all these lanterns that don't necessarily protect the sector. We would assume. I don't know how you do some of the jobs that are required on OA as a GL, like IA, while also fulfilling your duties as a sector lantern.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting road to go down. But again, if we assume it's going to be a one shot that may very well have no ramifications, then I guess it's good. It is an interesting choice of some of the lanterns we see in the background. Been Kilowog speaking, since some of these are not really in continuity, I think, at the moment. But
yeah, that green ape-like guy in the middle of the two of them, that's... I see, you know what? I say that looks familiar, but you know what? I think I just realized that particular design looks like kind of like a character from Nexus, to be honest with you.
Actually, he also looks like, I think, you know who he reminds me of? I think he looked exactly like one of the guys Kyle recruited in the new core.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure he resembles one of those.
Is that supposed to be Stell next to him? The guy that you can't even see the face of, the big chest behind Guy?
Hold on. Because I was too busy looking at everybody behind Kilowog. No, because he's got a beard. Mm. I think he's got a beard. I don't think that's metal. I think it's a beard.
Mm,
but behind Kilowog, I think on the right you have Arisia, and Arisia is not currently alive as far as we know, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And we think that it might be Boudica.
There's no way that's anything but Boudica.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be, I think, current continuity either. We see Salik. I'm assuming that's supposed to be Kyle next to Boudica.
Yeah.
From a nitpicky point of view, I guess they cover their ass because of the fact that they just say this takes place before Green Lantern Corps 14, but they don't say how far before Green Lantern Corps 14. But yeah, we know it can't be too far because John's already come back. So So you don't really have that excuse. I was trying to be kind, but we know it's relatively short because the power back, because the batteries were refilled. The fake John Stewart is dead and the real one came back.
Yeah, well, we just covered 15. 16 is upcoming. So 14 is the one where we saw a guy for the first time in his little preacher costume in the church and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they really, so technically the continuity mistakes are not from a, which from a who's who of lanterns is not a, is a problem if you want, if you want to let it bother you. But since they're not active characters, they're in the background. Maybe somebody just wants to show their love for some of their favorite lanterns, even though they're not really around anymore. I enjoyed it more than the Intergalactic Special, or certainly the KO Special.
I don't know why, but Kickstart My Heart was playing in my head when Guy started fighting with John and constructed the guitar construct. I just heard that guitar riff go off in my head and then the music start up as those two started fighting. That would definitely be the song I would attribute to putting this in live action or animation of some kind.
I'm going to send you this picture of the cover of the new core. That guy looks almost like, I wonder if he's supposed to be him, even though we know none of those guys, I think, were left with rings at the end of, but who knows, maybe he got recruited since then. But go ahead.
The only other thing I'll say is I don't know why, but the page I really like is the page of the astronauts inside of the space station and the porthole capsule windows being used as panels to show various parts of their fight.
Yes, as they're complaining that they're bored and nothing ever happens, and if they just looked through the windows on the ship, they'd see two Green Lanterns beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That definitely looks like it, the wrong color, but yeah, the right guy.
Well, yeah, that is true, but unless we're supposed to believe that they're kind of bathed in a little bit of green, but they get from the battery. But again, Guy and John look normal, but you're right. You're right. This color scheme is a little off, but at the very least, we'd have to say it's from the same species.
Yeah. So at the end of their fight, when they put their rings back on, that blip, is that, that's the transmission from him fading out, not the two of them being teleported away, right?
Yes. I that's what I would interpret. I would interpret that.
Because on my first read through, I was like, were they teleported away? Which made no sense to me because there's like two or three other times he calls people to his office. If he could just teleport them there, why didn't he do so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But beyond that, that's really all I got, to be honest with you. Again, it's not a bad issue. It's not the best issue I've ever read. It is kind of a breath of fresh air because I don't have any, you know, deep critiques about it. So I just wish I was more excited by it. But maybe hindsight will be 2020 if this ends up mattering to the story at large that we're going to be getting in core.
Yeah, I would agree. But even if not, we know it was fun. And even if it's just a diversion, it's kind of. That's enough sometimes, especially based on what we're getting in the main Green Lantern book, even more than core. That at least it's a nice, it's a pleasant diversion.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what's next?
So ever so briefly, from what I've seen, I didn't see anything in the movies. I didn't go last week, but I did finish Maul Shatterlord. So ever so slight spoilers, I will give them credit for as anybody who listened to last week's episode know. Well, no, at this point that I was convinced that they had done a nice bait and switch that earlier in the show, if you asked me in episodes five and six was Vader showing up, I would say yes. Once I saw episodes 7 and 8, I would say no. And of course, Vader shows up in 9 at the end of 9 into 10. So used very, very, very effectively. But I'm not, so that's about the closest thing to it. I mean, that is a spoiler, but almost everybody would know. I mean, that's so out there right now. You'd almost. Yeah, even if you were actively trying to avoid anything about that series, you probably would stumble into pictures, even if you didn't want to, from that episode, from the final episode, certainly. But I'm not going to go into specifics about what happened in either of the episodes. But I really enjoyed the show. I think it was very, very effective. I'm looking forward to the second season of that. And I can only hope that the Mandalorian and Grogu would be at least half as entertaining as the Maul show was. And I would be pleasantly surprised or happy. Not surprised. I would be very, 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 very pleased.
All righty. And then should we just mention real quick before we sign off? Okay. We won't have a special episode out for this. We might produce something to be TBD, but to be honest, the upcoming anniversary of the release of All-American 16 is coming up. All-American Comics number 16, the first appearance of Alan Scott, was released cover dated for July of 1940. Cover dates are different than actual newsstand dates, so when you go that far back, it's a little hard to get the actual newsstand dates for things, but it's by and large believed that All-American 16 came out on May 17th, 1940, which would mean May 17th would be Green Lantern Day, essentially. That's how DC usually does their character days based on the first appearance of the character. So Green Lantern Day, May 17th, 1940. May 17th falls on a Sunday this year. This upcoming Sunday, as you hear this, if you listen to it when it releases. Ever since May 1st, I have been posting something about Green Lantern, intentionally hyping up May 17th as Green Lantern Day, just to get the word out there, both over on Twitter and Blue Sky. And we've actually gotten quite a bit of reaction, which I'll have to share with you, Mark, at another point. But the whole goal is not to like do a massive crossover or anything. All it is if you have social media, post about Green Lantern, your collection, cosplay, your favorite issue, it doesn't matter. Post about Green Lantern, hopefully positively, on whatever social media platform you use. If you want to make a TikTok, great. If you just want to send out a tweet, that's cool too. Just post on social media about Green Lantern on May 17th and use the hashtag Green Lantern Day. Yes, I know hashtags are old school at this point and a little lame or whatever, but they do still serve a purpose of helping people find each other's posts on various social media platforms so that you can, if you want to take it to the next step, find other people on the platform that you're on posting about the same thing so you can like it, comment on it, retweet, whatever that you need to do. I have a couple of things planned for myself and for the LanternCast Twitter, and then I'll do, I'm planning something, hopefully it works out, for my own TikTok and so on and so forth, which I'll also share on the LanternCast Twitter. But it's not something, it's like some big crossover or anything that like us with the other podcasters are doing, like for GL June, which is also upcoming. It's just, we have, for the first time in, what, 11, how long has it been, 15 years since the Green Lantern movie? For the first time in 15 years, we have a big Lantern project coming out. I know that the Lanterns trailer is divisive to a lot of you, but you are all still Green Lantern fans. Let's show up this year for Green Lantern Day, May 17th, and just put some positivity behind the franchise of Green Lantern on May 17th. It does not have to be about Lanterns, although if you have something positive to say about Lanterns, go for it. I just want to get Green Lantern Day out there. That's really all it is.
A noble goal, Chad. A noble goal.
And that's it. That's a short one this week. So if people want to reach out to us, what do they do?
Oh, quick, just in case anybody was still, as we record this, I believe the Alan Scott Solomon Grundy 2-pack is still available some places for pre-order.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have not double checked it as we speak, but I know it was available certainly well late into the day, early morning after they at first went live. This is a shared exclusive, if you will, or maybe considered a non-exclusive because almost everybody has it. So this isn't going to be one of those where if it's only on one site, or if you're lucky, it's on two, like some of the other adventures in collecting we've had over the last year or so. So in case people are interested for that, you can look for that. It's like $75, something like that. It's pretty steep. So you really better like those characters to get it. And that is pretty much it. So yes, if you'd like to contact us, Website is lanterncast.com. The email is lanterncast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. Use hashtag Geocast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us on. Please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or a text, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.